Sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you had a fantastic Thursday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. Buckle up, hit that like button, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today is I would actually like to issue an apology. This morning after the Astros apology press conference, I don't know if you're unfamiliar with the situation. They were exposed for cheating, breaking the rules during a World Series season for them. And this morning, among a number of interviews, Astros owner Jim Crane was giving an interview, and he contradicted himself about a minute apart.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game.
Right, so he says, our opinion is it didn't impact the game. Then just 55 seconds later, he says, I didn't say it didn't impact the game. My response to that was, LOL, fuck the Astros. And before I just threw out that tweet without thinking, I didn't think of the impact it could have. And the next thing that I saw is, and I hate saying this because Jake unfollowed me. He let me know that he unfollowed me in a tweet, and I'd like to just give an apology to Jake as well as anyone else offended. I'd just like to take this moment to say sorry, both to Jake and also to everyone else that didn't want Jake to leave. And you know, sometimes we come up short, and so I want everyone to know that moving forward, I will not tweet things in fear of someone having a negative reaction to that statement, he said. Sarcastically. Also, once again, fuck the Astros. Or rather, because that is kind of a broad and forever statement, fuck Jim Crane and then distributed to others based off of their involvement and knowledge of all this cheating. Fuck all those players and people involved in that. And I mean that in the metaphorical sense, not the physical sense, because I know y'all love banging things. But yeah, especially Jim Crane. The man made no sense.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter? So doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
But yeah, baseball fans, I'd love to know your thoughts around this, but moving on. And then let's talk about Jim Carrey in the news. If you don't know, he's in the new Sonic movie. He plays Dr. Robotnik. And Jim Carrey is a very interesting man. I was actually looking forward to him doing press for this movie. Kind of side note here, if you've never seen the documentary Jim and Andy, I believe it's still on Netflix, definitely watch it. You definitely get a greater and more raw insight into who Jim Carrey is. Kind of amazing, but nerve-wracking and uncomfortable to watch. Yeah. But back on topic, Jim Carrey's been doing press, and we've gotten some fun moments of just him kind of just instantly switching into the Grinch. But then we've also seen a moment where Jim Carrey has gotten blasted for being what people have called sexist and inappropriate. This is what they described as an unsolicited sexual comment towards an interviewer. The interviewer is Charlotte Long from UK's Heat magazine, and this is the clip that people are talking about.
And in the film, Sonic has a bucket list, and I was wondering, after all you've done in your career and in your life, is there anything still left on your bucket list?
Just you.
Oh. Wow.
That's it. It's all done now.
I don't know what to say to that.
Just own it.
Okay, I'm owning it now.
Right, and so following that, you had some people calling him a massive sleaze bag, saying he was totally inappropriate. Though we also saw fans defending him. One writing, he made a joke, joke didn't land. Everyone is so offended about everything. If a female comedian said that about someone, we'd all laugh. The hypocrisy is ridiculous. But with that said, as far as my opinion on this, I actually land in the camp of, I think that the joke is being misinterpreted. Right, for me personally, when I watch that clip, it feels like he's saying, you know, being interviewed by you, that's on my bucket list. It's kind of like a throwaway joke. Right, when these press tours happen, they plop the celebrities in these like kind of cramped rooms, there's a ton of lights, all of a sudden you have all these interviewers just popping in, popping out every 5-10 minutes. And so I just took it as kind of lighthearted joke of him like, this is happening, I finally actually made it. And so in general to me, the people kind of angry here, they're either also misinterpreting or they're projecting, and it feels overly sensitive. But with that said, that's a story, my personal takeaway, and of course, I'd love to know your thoughts on this one. And then let's talk about the continuing war against Huawei. And so this has been an ongoing situation, a developing situation. Several days ago, we had US officials saying Huawei equipment has secret backdoors, with White House National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien saying, we have evidence that Huawei has the capability secretly to access sensitive and personal information in systems it maintains and sells around the world. And this was big news, a big announcement, because the United States, for a while now has been trying to get allies to reject Huawei equipment in their 5G networks. Now, regarding that claim, Huawei, of course, has denied the allegation, saying it has never and will never do anything that would compromise or endanger the security of networks and data of its clients. With the chairman of Huawei even going on to say regarding evidence, if you have proof or evidence, it should be made known. Maybe not to Huawei and maybe not to the public, but to telecom operators, because they are the ones that buy Huawei. There has never been any evidence that our equipment poses a security threat. Right, so essentially saying put up or shut up regarding evidence that it appears that the United States says that it has. And now what we're seeing in addition to that today is kind of the continuation of the campaign with the U.S. Justice Department hitting Huawei and its CFO with 16 charges. The indictment announced today reportedly including charges of racketeering as well as conspiracy to steal trade secrets. And as Axios pointed out in their report, this superseding indictment could ratchet up the potential penalties against Huawei, which was already facing charges for violating U.S. sanctions against Iran and North Korea. Now regarding these charges, we saw U.S. Attorney Richard Donahue say, the new charges in this case relate to the alleged decades-long efforts by Huawei and several of its subsidiaries, both in the United States and in the People's Republic of China, to misappropriate intellectual property, including from six U.S. technology companies, in an effort to grow and operate Huawei's business. With Donahue going on to explain, the misappropriated intellectual property included trade secret information and copyrighted works, such as source code and user manuals for internet routers, antenna technology, and robot testing technology. But ultimately, that's where we are now. The situation is still developing. It's definitely a stress point regarding the United States and China, though not the only one. But for now, we'll have to wait to see what else comes out and what happens next. And then let's talk about Michael Bloomberg and the 2020 election, because you know how this week we talked about how he could spend $100 million a day from now to election day and still have $30 billion? Well, it appears that the billionaire former New York mayor who's now running in the Democratic primary decided to spend that access to money on memes. According to reports, his campaign teamed up with Meme 2020, which has access to over a dozen meme accounts totaling 60 million followers. Notably, Mick Brzezicki is the lead strategist of the company. He's also the chief executive of Jerry Media, which, if that sounds familiar, it's probably for a couple of reasons. First, they helped promote the infamous Fyre Festival, then later producing a Netflix documentary about it, which was, I know there were several of them. Unsurprisingly, their doc was the one that made them seem less like one of the villains. They also run the Fuck Jerry Instagram account, which has faced a lot of backlash for stealing jokes and not crediting them. Though, that has really not stopped them. That page alone is 14.9 million followers, right? So an extensive reach. And thanks to the partnership with the Bloomberg campaign, it's also one of the pages that Bloomberg has actually had memes posted on. And in general, all of these memes, all of these posts have kind of the same theme. It's an old politician billionaire who's out of touch with the youth trying to seem cool. To which you hear that and you're like, oh, you mean like Pokemon Go to the polls with Hillary Clinton in 2016, which there is a similarity, but the difference here would be that the Bloomberg campaign is trying to position themselves as they're also in on the joke, right? And even if that effort doesn't work, it's still so odd that people will likely talk about it, right? It's kind of like when Bloomberg's team posted this weird meatball photo with Mike's face on a meatball. It gets his name and kind of face out there more and more, just like as you become a bigger part of the conversation more and more, maybe that will end up leading to more votes down the road once you go, oh yeah, the weird meme guy. And the thing is, unlike a lot of paid sponsorships, a lot of these posts blew the hell up. Also, I'm talking about it. A ton of people are talking about this story. And I believe, and it's not really an unpopular opinion, that a lot of the reason this spread so much is that a lot of people were like, this is very weird. This can't actually be a real paid sponsorship, right? This is kind of just a meme, right? The meme is that he has so much money he would pay, but no, he actually did it. And this is also not their kind of first dabbling in the space. I mean, they spent a ton of money on Facebook ads. Also reportedly had offered influencers money for sponsored posts in the past. Now, as far as the rest of the social media reaction, it was kind of mixed. You know, some expressing praise and support, but you also had people saying things like, this sucks, unfollow. Model and actress Emily Ratajkowski commented, this is not a good look for you. The fat Jewish, who's definitely in the meme space, was 11 million followers, commented on one of the posts saying that he was